If you love God, say amen.
Amen.
If you want to be the light of the world, say amen.
Amen.
If you know that we can't leave these lights in the pews and in the auditoriums we worship in, say amen.
Amen.
If you want to be a light that goes out into the world and lets Christ be seen in your life to those around us, say amen.
Amen.
It's great to be here, and I'm glad we have a lot of visitors this morning. Our story starts in December of 2016, a small town in northern Mississippi, Holly Springs, in the Holly Springs Church of Christ. My brother-in-law is one of the preachers there, Todd Sanderson. They decided to take a Saturday morning and go out into their community and buy gasoline and food for random people in their community. They were a little surprised at just how much they were able to impact those people, the lives that they touched that day, but they were even more surprised at how it changed the hearts of the members of that congregation. Well, their story inspired our elders, and our elders wanted Estes to have an act of random kindness day, wanted us to put that together. Well, Trent Scott had an idea. He said, let's go a little bit bigger. Let's take it a step further. Let's have a program, and he came up with the name Impact. It's the perfect name. Impact is the name of an umbrella program that includes this program, this ministry, Acts of Random Kindness, but it includes other ministries that we'll talk more about, including a proactive way of looking at helping our family members here at Estes and meeting our family's needs. Well, the elders wanted to take today to tell you more about what that was and what we did and what Impact is and some of what we'll be doing in the future. And we hope that everyone here is uplifted and inspired and that God is glorified. So, in September, we launched our program, and Doug had a fantastic lesson. It's on the website, as kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. Go ahead, Frank, and advance to the next slide. And Trent had heard about this great way of fundraising campaign, and we put an impact board. Go ahead, Frank. And the impact board had these cards labeled $1 all the way up to $100, which in total adds up to a little bit more than $5,000. And so we asked the members of the church family here at Estes to pledge a dollar amount to the program. And a little confession here, Trent's confessed the same thing. We were hopeful, and we thought that in a couple of months we might be able to get all the cards pledged for and to raise all the money. Well, the next slide shows what the board looked like before the next service even started. So in less than 8 hours, y'all funded this program. And that says several things to me, but it's very encouraging, and I think I could talk for 30 more minutes just about how meaningful it is that y'all wanted to act, that y'all wanted to give, and that y'all wanted to serve. Now, this was a very impressive day. It was very moving. Todd, my brother-in-law, spoke to us that night, but the board was already clean. And so we got off to a great start. Well, what we decided to do was meet on December 2nd, and everyone realizes that Henderson and Chester County is not big enough for 400 people to go to gas stations and restaurants. So we couldn't include everybody, and not to mention that would cost quite a bit more money. But so we took 17 teams on December 2nd to the community to participate in Acts of Random Kindness. So instead of me trying to tell you more about that, we did have a day, we did have everybody come back to the building when we were finished, and we shared our stories and talked about what meaningful things happened both to the people that we touched and to ourselves. So Trent's worked very hard on putting several videos together, but I do want y'all to hear from some of the people there that were there that day. Yeah, the video's not next. So we've raised, I'm back. That board was only responsible for $5,000, we have had $8,500 and change donated to this program since it started. And you can put money in the impact box anytime you want that's in the lobby. And we spent about 30% of that day, and we have already spent about 22% in internal benevolence, if you want to call it that, helping members of our family meet some of their needs. And then we have this balance. But I want to say about the balance that almost all of that already is earmarked for needs that come in the future. So almost all of that is spoken for needs of the family here at Estes. So we wanted to report what your money's been up to and how much we spend in acts of random kindness versus how much we've spent in helping our own family members. I think the next video, or the next slide, is a video. I don't. Let's see if I have permission to sit down.
We're doing acts of random kindness today, and we are going out and we're going to share God's love with people. We're going to just go up and offer to help in whatever situation we find people in.
Yeah, logistically today was pretty complex and yet amazingly beautiful, in that we had 17 teams that went out into the community and showed acts of random kindness all over town, gas stations and restaurants and grocery stores and all kinds of spots in between. And who knows how many people have been impacted by this, who've just been reminded that there are Christians in this community that love them and want them to see the love of Christ.
So our family went and just to try to be a blessing in the community and be hands and feet of Jesus, actually doing some kindness for whoever we found.
We were able to help three families, me and Ellie and Lane. One man, it was just simple cup of coffee. Another man had gotten some other food. And then the last family we helped in there ended up being a single mom of four kids. And she was debating, you know, how much chicken she could afford to buy, I assume, like, just for her and her girls for lunch that day. And I was like, you know, well, I'm going to get this, so you just go ahead and get whatever you need. And so she was at first a little hesitant, but then very appreciative. And she thanked us over and over and asked where we worshiped. And I gave her a pamphlet, and we talked a little bit about Estes. And she was very thankful, and then her girls were too.
And we found a man who, after he pulled in, he jumped out. A lot of people have their card in hand and are ready to swipe, but he was going to actually walk in and pay. And so I met him on his way to the door and said, "Hey, do you mind if we get your gas today?" And he was real confused. He said, "What?" I said, we're here with Estes. We're just trying to do some random kindness, and we want to pay for your gas today." Went back around just to chat with him while he was filling up his tank, and he was crying. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "I've just never had anybody do anything like that for me." He said, "I work 5 days a week. I work extra on the weekends just to try to provide for my two kids. And this is just incredible." He was just shocked.
Today has been awesome. It's been a day where we have shown acts of random kindness, but been intentional about showing the love of Christ throughout Henderson. And I think we've been blessed as much as we feel like we've blessed others, but just tried to show that fruit of the Spirit, kindness, and let other people know how much we love them.
I think that would be a long-lasting impact, especially every time I drive by that building. I'm going to think there are those people that cared enough to actually do something about it, not just to go to their services or go and preach and whatever, but they are actually physically doing some good for people and trying to live like Jesus and not just talk about it. I think that has to make an impact. I think that has to be something that they'll remember. I don't know how you'd forget it.
She made the statement that she brought $20 with her to the gas station, and she said she knew it wouldn't be enough, and her daughter wanted ice cream. And so what we were able to do is provide a tank of gas for her and ice cream for her daughter. And those small things, I truly believe, have impacted this woman and her family for months and maybe years to come. And she knows who we are, she knows where we are, and I wouldn't be surprised if she were to visit with us in our worship services because she was so touched by this act.
And we know that that the world will know we are his disciples by the love that we show not only for one another, but for others in the world. That's why the Impact Program is so important.
She began to cry and was overwhelmed that we were offering to pay for their lunch. And in addition to that, we were able to pray with her. And she spoke over and over again about the blessing that came to her today. And she already had some contacts at the Estes congregation, but I believe that we've strengthened her knowledge of our congregation and what we're about and who we're about, and that what we want to do above everything else is bring glory and honor to God.
It started conversations about love and about our community and about good. And I don't know, I guess in a setting where there's so much bad news and so many things to gripe about, it was just super encouraging to be able to talk about love and what that looks like. And one of my favorite things was just the ability to say to people, there are no strings attached here. You know, this is not, we're only going to help you if you'll make some promise to us. There was no condition attached. And I think that that's pretty powerful when you consider the way God's shown the world love.
I so wish that I could just download into your souls what it was like to be there that day. What it was like to be there when we met back for lunch and we told our stories and we heard how much it meant to the people that were touched and how much it meant to the people that went out and did the work. The videos are great. We just don't have time to show you all the videos, and we don't have time to recreate what it was like to be there that day. But we did want at least one member to be able to tell their story to you in person, so we've asked Ben Couples to come tell his story to you.
Can y'all hear me okay? I'm not a public speaker by any means. I've already spoke with Alex, and he said it was okay to ugly cry, so I may do that. Like I said, if I refer to this as the ARC program, it's because of Todd. Our program is the Impact program. So, but several families went out. Mine was one of them. We were able to help. We went four different places with the allotted amount of money, and we were able to help three families and one individual. And It was truly humbling and gratifying at the same time. The first lady we helped, she thought we were stalkers. We were in the car, and I know everybody. I mean, I'm from here, born and raised here, and the first five people that pulled up were like average Joe. I was like, well, I can help them, but it's not gonna mean that, you know, the same. So then this girl pulls up, and I'm like, that's her right there. So my boys, they were like, you know, just like Christmas morning almost. They're like, oh, man, let's go. So we get out, and we're like, yeah, you know. And she's looking at, she's on her phone. She almost got back in her car. So I was like, well, let's go in. So we went in, and I told the lady what we were doing, and she gave me the same look as the lady that we were trying to help. So she finally got around to the gas pump, and boy, we were out the door. And it's so easy. I mean, I would rather walk up to a stranger as stand here in front of all y'all. And the most fulfilled blessing I got, just using her as an example, when we walked back to the car, Cheston came running by me, and he done a huge heel click and said, Daddy, that was awesome. And as a dad, it makes me proud, as you can tell. But as a Christian, it let me know that he knew that what we were doing had purpose. And that's it in a nutshell, folks. That is impact. Sorry, I can't see my notes.
We helped a family.
We went into the grocery store and we seen a couple of our fellow stalkers already there. Like I said, it's a small town, so I mean, everybody can't do it at once. But we seen Mark and I was like, well, you know, this guy's over here in a blue flannel shirt, and he's flipping through stuff, got the evil eye, and we come in, we're like, well, we'll go somewhere else. So it's so easy to do. You go anywhere. You can pick out. I was like, we had a list of three or four places each person, and I was like, let's go here. I mean, somebody else is here, let's go here. And my wife was like, well, we can't go there, that's not in our community. I'm like, well, it's close enough. I mean, we're Pinson. I want to go to Pinson. So anyway, we go to Los Portales. We bought a meal for a couple. It's amazing how God's plan works. I walked in, told him what I wanted to do, and then I wanted to meet the people. I walked back there, and the gentleman's family we helped just happened to be in a wheelchair. He looked like a severe diabetic, and his face lit up, and they were grateful. Turned around and walked out. Then we went back to Save a Lot and helped a family with several adolescent kids, and my oldest son's not an adolescent, but he is 10. It's close enough, but he will eat me out of house and home already. She had three. And they were fussing over what to keep, what to put back. I didn't say anything. I waited till she got up there with what they decided to get. And I told her I wanted to pay for it. So when I give her my contribution, she went back and let them get the stuff that they wanted because she could pay for that then. And then finally, we helped an elderly vet. I didn't know him, but I know his brothers. And he had a small amount of groceries, and I knew we were standing behind the registers, and there were several people to help, but I just felt like I needed to help him, and I did. He was grateful. The best part is, though, I seen his brother a couple weeks after, and he told me that he really appreciated what Estes was doing and how it impacted him. And he didn't need the monetary value, but it had been a long time since somebody had helped him like that. And the most important part to him was my boys toted his groceries back to the car. And they told him that they loved him, and I didn't even have to tell them to do that. This program is so easy, and if you allow it to work in your life, it's an overload of emotional happiness. We wanted to let you know, to use this time to show you, you know, this can impact our church in an amazing way. If we don't help, you know, the money is one thing, but when you hand them a pamphlet that says, you know, we want you to come to church at Estes, they may not remember my name 2 days after the fact, but they may look at that and come right through those doors. And all of us here showing love and emotion, we want them here, not because we want to hurl fire and brimstone at them. Now, Doug and Mark may do that. But you especially don't have to do that out there. All you got to do is tell them you love them, and most importantly, that God loves them, and you can change their life forever. And finally, I just want to close with this. It was truly a blessing to be involved in this impact program. I want to thank Alex for asking me and letting the Lord use him to use me. And about a couple weeks after our impact weekend, I had been praying about my salvation in particular for some time now. And who'd have thought but a service, good Lord used Doug to come up here in this very pulpit and preach about a squirrel and a power line transformer. And I was rebaptized that very Sunday. So if you don't think this program works, I'm proof of it. And I just want to encourage and urge every person in here, if you're not involved in this program, you don't have to ugly cry like me, but I'm telling you, it's contagious, and I inherit it, so I'm a shoo-in for it. But I wish you would get involved and let this program not only make you a better person, but a better Christian. Thank you.
I'm pretty certain that I can't say anything any better than what Ben said, so thank you for sharing your thoughts, Ben. Community outreach is a big part of Impact, but it's not the only thing that the program does. So quickly, I want to talk about the other components of Impact. Estes is a family, and Scripture makes it pretty clear that we are supposed to take care of one another, and I appreciate the verses that Dr. Walker read at the beginning of service. And the second component of Impact gives us a tool that we can use to address the needs of our family here at Estes. Whether it's a house fire or an illness or something, some crisis that presents itself to a member of our family, we have a tool that we can use to address those needs and to be active in those situations and to help with the immediate needs, but also to look for some long-term solutions to help our brothers and sisters right here at Estes. We ask a few people to share their thoughts on why this sort of thing is so important, caring for one another, and I'll let them speak now.
One of the things about Impact, yes, you want to help people in the community. But you also want to help people within the body of Christ. That is so important that we help one another in time of need, because even Jesus said, you know, the world's going to know whether you're my disciples or not by seeing the love that we have for one another. And, you know, I think the Impact Program, it helps us do that. It helps us demonstrate to the world the love we have for one another.
As you look around this room, you'll see people that you know are suffering, that are going through something in their life. It's about time that we take the steps, that we do more than just pray, but we be the servants God put us here to be, and we help one another.
I believe the Impact Program is so important because it gives us a way to really bear one another's burdens. That's what the church is really all about, is helping one another in time of need. The Impact Program actually gives us a process of doing that.
And it's the obligation of everyone that calls each other a brother or a sister to be there for those when they can't stand on their own.
I think having a program like the Impact Program gives people an opportunity to help. A lot of times we don't know who needs the help, but we know that people do need help.
I want my family to be a part of a congregation that is looking after one another.
Or go in shock, really, at the generosity and love that everybody shows without anything in return. And I've never had that, never.
The Estes congregation is one of the most generous congregations that I've ever been a part of.
there is no telling the lasting impacts, that word impact, that will carry out into eternity.
I just want to say thank you, which doesn't even seem adequate enough to say or appreciate enough, but thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's all God working through us. It's not us. We can try to take credit, but it's not us. God is in this. And whenever righteousness comes about because of the things we do, God gets the glory.
I love what Harold says at the end, when good things happen because of what we do, God gets the glory. That's very true. Leave you with just a few things before Doug takes the stage. I love Estes because this comes so natural to so many of you. You've been doing this for years, and this is, we just put a logo to it. This is natural for so many of you, and I want to thank you for that. I also want to thank everyone that's been a part of this so far. If you got a card off the board, if you served on Acts of Random Kindness Day, or you let us know about a need right here at Estes, we appreciate your support so far. And I also want to mention, I had the opportunity to be out in the lobby when the board went up, and as soon as worship was over, was out there, and I can't tell you how many kids went and grabbed one of those cards. And so to all you young people that went out and grabbed one of those cards and took your allowance to be a part of this, that was a very grown-up thing that you did. And thank you for that. You taught us some lessons along the way. The board is coming back later this year, and so there's going to be another opportunity to grab a card, and I hope that you will consider doing that when the time comes. But don't wait for that. There is a box at the Welcome Center, and anytime you can, there's envelopes out there. You can drop your contribution in anytime. And finally, I'll leave you with a challenge, and that's to not wait until the next ARC event to go out and do something good for the people around you. God calls us to live lives of service and generosity, and that's really the goal of this program, for our hearts to be touched as we come in contact with people around us. And so one last video, the people that participated in the ARC program shared a lot of thoughts about how it touched them. And so before Doug comes up, I'd like for you to see that.
One of the places we went to was a fast food restaurant, and we bought somebody's lunch, and it cost $6. I think probably most of us could do that on a regular basis, could go to a fast food restaurant and buy somebody lunch just out of kindness, because we love people and because Jesus told us to do that.
We were able to impact other people, but just even on the way home, we were talking as a family about, you know, when we start talking about planning our budget for next year, being able to be intentional about, you know, doing these types of things as just a family.
Our kids got to see Jesus today, and they're going to see it a lot more.
It made me feel really good, because it was just like doing something that was good for someone else just makes you feel really good.
Maybe we need to do this more often and not just as an organized effort when somebody invites us, but maybe this needs to be more part of who we are on a regular basis. So we're really thankful that we got to be part.
It really showed me that it doesn't matter how much. We just paid $15 for his gas, and that's not a lot, but it showed me that it doesn't matter how much you give. It can be five or 500, but there's always going to be someone who really appreciates what you've done, and that really impacted my life today.
This has impacted not only members of our community, but has greatly impacted our family. I think doing this together with our children is something that we will carry with us, and that we're going to definitely be a part of in other ways as we can, because this has been a true blessing.
Years ago, there was a commercial on TV where a little boy or a little girl the milk, and they would start drinking that milk, and then an adult version of that child would appear in the mirror,
and they had a conversation about how milk does the body good. And the whole purpose was, if you want to be healthier, sometimes it's profitable just to get a glass of cold milk and to think about the blessings in something as simple as that. You know, I'm sure that a lot of us, maybe we don't talk about it much, have been involved in doing things for others without any expectation of a physical blessing in return. But this morning for me has been like that drink of cold milk, a reminder of what we all have the opportunity to do and a reminder of what's really foundational to what it is that our God desires for us. It's not only true that milk does the body good, love does the body good, namely the body of Christ. And I'm intrigued by the way the New Testament addresses that very idea. I love the way that in Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul is talking about love, namely God's love, he uses that picture or illustration of marriage. And he not only is talking about the family very clearly in that particular place, because we'll see how he goes to parents and their children in the next chapter, but he's saying something here about God's love for his people. A love that really was volunteered before we could ask for it. A love that it's made clear on the pages of Scripture that we don't deserve, that we can't fully repay. And so when you think about what God's love looks like, it's interesting to follow that path through Scripture and to see exactly how it is God wants us to love and why he wants us to love. I think foundational to this are some words we've already been singing together this morning in the song, The Greatest Commands, how in 1 John 4, verse 8, we read those words, God is love. Those words are repeated in verse 16 of that same chapter. So it's not that love is God. God is love. God defines love. God shows love. I'm reminded of what Jesus says in John 15, in verse 13 in particular, he describes what greatest love looks like. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. This is a selfless love, a love that doesn't allow the circumstances of life to define what love looks like. It's not dependent upon what kind of day we're having, or how our finances are, or what the weather's like, or what other people have done for us. Aren't you thankful that God isn't motivated by any of those factors? God is motivated by a character that it's at its very foundation and core is truth in love. That's what it looks like. And I'm reminded of how that our love is really a reflection. It is reciprocating what God's love is. He doesn't just tell us to love, he models that love. And so when we serve others and love others, what we're doing is we're showing to others what God first showed us. Jesus, I've mentioned John a couple of times in John 13, 34 and 35, makes that even more explicit. Love one another as I have first loved you. Then we see that same principle modeled in the life of our Lord, how it's not just a love that's reflected in the way we serve God and devote ourselves to him. It's a love that's reflected in our fellowship together. As Jesus looked at his apostles and was talking about what real love looks like, isn't it amazing and comforting to think about that principle when he says, little children, love one another as I have first loved you. And John 15, verse 12. It's true that the Apostle John was known as an apostle of love, but I'm recommending that he learned love by sitting at the feet of our Savior Jesus, a Savior who, even on the days he was tired and even on the days he could have quit or could have lashed out at others because of the way he was being treated, even from the cross, was willing to say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's the kind of God we serve, a God who shows love towards us and who expects that we love others, namely those who are blessed to wear the name of our Lord Jesus. But one of the things that the Impact Program has reminded us of, and a number of ministries that we're involved with remind us of, is the fact that our love doesn't stop at the borders of the kingdom of God. Our love is made evident even towards those that we don't know, even towards our enemies, even those who perhaps, if anyone on earth doesn't deserve to know what it feels like to be loved, we would say that we love those people too. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 30. I cited verse 29 because that's where the question, who's my neighbor, comes in. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, you have that beautiful parable, the Good Samaritan. And if anything, in that parable, we see what
love in action looks like. It's not just taking care of those that can take care of us, and it's not just serving those who share the same moral foundation we share. It's a love that is without borders with regard to our willingness to give and to serve and to wash feet and to demonstrate exactly what it is our God has done for us. We have a number of special relationships in life, in our families and in our friendships, and it's natural for us to give preference to those that we know the best, that perhaps we feel indebted to. But I'm thankful that we serve a God who does not show partiality and who was really benevolent in taking the initiative to offer to all of us a loving kindness that no one, regardless of race or age or gender or any other disposition we might apply a label to, that no one else is worthy of or deserving of. And when I walked in this morning, I was handed a little envelope. I didn't know what it really was about. It had my name on it, and it had the Estes congregational name and address here. And sometimes we get these kinds of cards, and maybe someone wants to make a gift, and they put Mark's name or my name on there or someone else's name, and usually I'll open it while I'm here so that I can just hand it over to the appropriate person nearby. This is actually a thank you note for something that happened on that Acts of Random Kindness Day. We met, this is the strangest thing that I was given this letter before services this morning. We met several people when we were out on the town at a Shell station. We met some folks at El Ranchito, and then we met a few people at Sonic. It was hard to pay for people's meals at Sonic because, you know, people order and they swipe the card, and by the time you get there, they've already paid. We saw a couple pull up, a daughter and her older mother, and we went over and initiated a conversation with them, and she sent a thank you note, and I wish I could read all of it, but I will talk about ugly cry. I probably will be guilty of that if I were to do that. But here's what she says. The main reason that this card was sent is to say that I've never been so touched in all my life as I was that day at Sonic. You know, it's just interesting that we didn't just buy her tater tots and a Route 66 or whatever, but that we talked about her ailing father. Christy prayed with her. Eden gave her a rose, and part of this card is just about how, these are her words. She lives here in town. I don't want to call her name or embarrass her, but she says, these are her words, "I will honestly never forget it, and I do praise you for the way that your congregation tried to show those of us in town God's love." You know, I don't know what will come from the seed that was planted that day, but it wasn't just about the food, and it wasn't just about the conversation, although that would have been sufficient. It was about showing her the love of God. And we have an opportunity every day that our God blesses us with on this earth to show others exactly what our God is all about, what He's communicated in His will, what He desires for us. We've thought about these verses an awful lot recently. The promise of 1 Timothy 2:4, that God desires that all people everywhere be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. I want to have eyes that are open to the needs of others, not only my own family members, but those that perhaps I don't know, who are all around me, who have needs. And who knows? Maybe you got up this morning and got dressed thinking that you were going to come to Bible class and a worship service, not knowing exactly what need you had in your life and how God's Word and the activity among God's people can prick our hearts and remind us that life is about much more than the accumulation of stuff. It's about much more than just getting bragging rights because of an accomplishment or receiving praise from other people. That life, at its simplest, is lived in an effort to honor our God and to show others what His will truly is, so that not only will people be blessed by our relationships here and now, but we pray people will come to know the special nature of our God and to be blessed to spend eternity with Him. And so it's my prayer that love has done your heart good this morning, and that if you're not in right standing with God, that nothing will prevent us from being in full fellowship with Him again. That if we're not a Christian, that we'll run to Him in full faith, acknowledging that because of His grace we have that opportunity, desiring with all of our heart to be called His son or His daughter because of a willingness to turn from sin and to confess boldly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because we come in contact with His blood, represented by the waters of baptism, we can be raised to walk in a life that is full and fulfilled and better than any other existence anyone on earth could possibly have. And if we are those who are blessed to be Christians, let's desire with all of our hearts, not only in our study and in our fellowship and in our worship, which are all essential ingredients of the Christian life, but in the ways that we seek to serve others as our Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a blessing to know the love of God. Love does the body good. And the love of God can do us good this morning, whether we respond publicly or privately, as we stand and sing together.